We serve a wonderful God, a God of miracles, amen. And is anything too hard for the Lord? Yes, a rhetorical question seems to beg an answer, but it speaks for itself. And I wanted to talk about a subject that heretofore I was didn't have much light on, and hope that and trust that maybe we'll see some things in it now. That and that book is the book of Acts. The book of Acts is a transitional book, obviously, and it's full of wonderful things and that help us to understand the workings of the Lord and the glory of the Lord and the in His church. And you know, it's got a lot of vast subjects in it, of which that I'm not going to do anything but maybe touch upon today. And, you know, many of you may be more familiar with the book of Acts than I am. And so, you know, I don't think it would hurt. There may be children here, like my own grandchildren, that don't know anything about the book of Acts. So maybe that will help them, and we'll just kind of go through and try to understand the book of Acts. And the book of Acts, which we often call the book of Acts, we refer to the book of Acts, but it's actually called the Acts of the Apostles. And so this is a book that shows what the apostles did. It's a transitional. As I said, the Lord has gone on to glory, and He's given commandments to His people, and He's given special blessings to His apostles. And the apostles are, we commonly refer again to the Lord's disciples, we say, with his 12 disciples. But actually, the Lord had many disciples at that time, and He, as He does today, He's got many disciples. And I want to go to the 12th chapter of Luke. There's several things found in Luke I think we'll find interesting. And the, in the, let me see if I wrote it down here. Where he names his 12 apostles. I don't see it here. I meant to bring my own Bible, but I'm using my one that I bring on my pew. So bear with me just a second. Anyway, I can't find it. So I'll just say that the Lord gathers his disciples, and then he says, of his disciples, he chooses 12, and he names them apostles. And so here we are with the use of the word apostle, and I don't think that the use of the word apostle in this case, and the meaning of it being an ambassador, is really as important as how we understand who these apostles were. You know, how blessed, especially blessed they were, is hard to state. And there's probably none of us here that haven't thought, you know, boy, wouldn't it have been great, you know, if I could have been there, you know, if I could have touched the Lord, if I could have seen Him, if I could have heard him preach, as Brother Keith brought up to me before the service, you know, on the road to Emmaus, they said, did not our hearts burn within us as He spoke? They knew what it was like when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to them, and how that burning filled their hearts. But also, you know, they were privy to special information, and special after he preached to the multitudes in parables, but then he would expound the parables to his disciples later, and they saw special miracles, miracles that other people did not know about, but his disciples knew when he made water into wine. His disciples, just in this case, just Peter, James, and John, I believe, were on the Mount of Transfiguration. And they're very careful to delineate later on in the Bible how that they were their hands that handled of the word of life, their eyes, they were eyewitnesses to His glory. And they were especially blessed in that. I don't think about this very often, but also they were given special powers of the Lord. They were tempted to glory in their, that they could cast out devils. They could heal people. Jesus sent them out to preach all over Israel, and so they had special grace in that also. And then in the writing of the book of Acts, they let's go to Luke at the 24th. Well, let me talk about the apostles a little bit more. That they, well, we already talked about they had special gifts and blessings, but they on the 24th chapter of Luke, the last chapter of Luke, in the verse 44, we come to something that it says, and certain of them, and this is after the road to Emmaus, right? The Lord appears to them. And he needed to eat before them. That's another thing that they got to witness. And then he said there are, in verse 44, he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you, which while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send you the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And so he gives them a command to stay at Jerusalem. And this is not the first time this has been mentioned. Peter on the day of Pentecost speaks that it was the prophet Joel that prophesied this, and that the special blessing of the Holy Spirit was going to come upon them in power from on high. And they were to tarry at Jerusalem. Also, John the Baptist, and the Lord mentions this earlier, that he indeed baptized with water. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And so let's go to the first chapter of Acts. And then he says... And they being assembled together with them commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Here we go again. Don't depart from Jerusalem. But wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, there it is, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they were therefore come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time again restore the kingdom of it to Israel? He said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. And so then they go, and there's another definition of this disciple here that they meet, they said, well, Jerusalem, there's supposed to be 12 apostles. And so they meet, they decide, let's draw lots and see. And the people, and it says here, if you want to read it, that, the people that they chose from, they says they must be those that came, that were with us in the beginning and saw everything we did. They were with us the whole time. Witnesses to his resurrection. And that's the power they demonstrated, the resurrection of Christ. And when the, so on the day of Pentecost, they were all in one place, all the apostles, and there came a sound of a rushing mighty wind. And then the Holy Ghost fell on them, and it appeared cloven clothes of fire above their head. So this is a demonstrable, visible sign that they were blessed by the Holy Ghost. And Also, with the, later on in the book of Acts, we'll see that with the laying on of the apostles' hands, that people were able to receive the Holy Ghost. They said, we've not so much heard if there is a Holy Ghost. And so the apostles could do this. They had special powers. They were endued by God to have these powers and to demonstrate the cause of Christ for his sake, to deliver the gospel and to do all the things they did. As a matter of fact, Peter, the Bible says that if even his shadow, they would gather the sick together, that even the shadow of Peter overshadowing some of them, if his shadow overshadowed them, they would be healed of whatever diseases they had. And so, and also the Apostle Paul, it says later, we're going to be introduced to the Apostle Paul. That's another big thing that happens in the book of Acts. It says the Apostle Paul, he said God wrote, he did special miracles by Paul. God did these miracles by Paul, that handkerchiefs or aprons, if they touched Paul, then they had special power to cleanse people and do all kinds of miraculous things that the apostles were blessed to do. Now, Brother Ward brought up last week, the Apostle Paul brought up this. He said that the gift that Timothy was given to preach was, done by the laying on of hands. And we don't believe that the laying on of hands certainly never felt any spiritual power, being transferred to us or through us or anything like this. And so the begs the question, because they definitely in the apostolic church, there were people that spoke in tongues. There were people that could heal people of diseases. There were all kinds of things like that that we don't see here. Or I'll just say this, in my experience, I've never seen this. And I'll ask the question again, is anything too hard for the Lord? No, nothing's too hard for the Lord. But, so is it possible? Yes, it is possible. But in my mind right now, the purposes of God that were served by these demonstrable miracles that the apostles were able to perform, they had a purpose for that time and that place. And I wouldn't say God would never give them again. That's up to him. He's just the same today. He may not do, he doesn't have the same purposes for everything. He had purposes of spreading the gospel. It says all over the world, and the apostles were able to do that. And there's a notable miracle here in the book of Acts. It says in the third chapter, as we go right along here, it says, now, I won't go through this whole thing, but I'm going to go through some of it. That in the third chapter of the book of Acts, it says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, which they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them, and he entered into the temple. So there was a man, lame from his mother's womb, that was at the temple Beautiful, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter fastened his eyes on him with John and said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, supposing to have received something from them. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the hand and immediately lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple, leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew it was him that sat at the begging alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple. And they're full of amazement. And when they came together, Peter saw it, and he said something that's very telling here to me, and it kind of speaks to a foundational truth in my opinion. He said, and when Peter saw it, He answered the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though we had by our own power or holiness had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, who you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go." So I'm going to stop there with that. But I think that covers just about everything that we see, you know, in this book, that the apostles, the extraordinary power that they had wasn't because of them. It wasn't by their own righteousness. It wasn't anything to do with them so much. It was to do with Jesus. That's what it was all about. And that brings us to another point, you know, that that Brother Ward I've heard make lately, is that you know, the fact that it's not about you. You know, if you're blessed to receive something from the sermon or in the reading or to sing in the spirit or to lead a song or to have liberty in the pulpit or any of those things that you receive as a blessing of the spirit, it's not about you. It's about the Jesus Christ, and it's done for his glory. And also I will say that, you know, whether we are baptized with fire, I don't, that's one I still don't understand for sure, if anybody wants to enlighten me on that. But it is certain that, that we are blessed in a lot of the same ways. You know, in the 14th chapter of John, I suggest reading it very much. It's got a lot of the great things that we know and believe are true. In my house, my Father's house, are many mansions, and there's no greater love hath any man. But he also says, he says to the disciples directly, he says, "You did not choose me, I chose you." And I think a lot of this is true for all of us, even though we don't feel, we don't see demonstrable physical things with fire, but we do feel the Holy Spirit. And like in the 14th chapter of John, he says that we will come and make our abode with you, talking about the Father. The Spirit, the Father, the Son, they all come and make their abode with all of us. And he talks, and the Lord talks about the Holy Spirit of truth three times in the 14th chapter of John. And then the Apostle Paul later says that ye are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And that's true for every one of us, which is the earnest of our inheritance. And so the apostles were used in this vitally important way. It's a segment, I'll say again, from the Gospels, segues. It tells how the early church spread abroad. There's many, many things that could be said here. And that the apostles in the 14th chapter of John, the Lord tells the apostles that your work shall remain. The fruit that you will bear shall remain. And I will say that is this right here, the New Testament. Their fruit has remained. Everything that they did. And we believe that every word of this is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and that that came through the apostles by the grace of God, and that's what it did. And so we have several things. Like I said, it's a transitional book. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, the resurrection of the dead, testified to and confirmed with power. The bringing in of the Gentiles into the church, all in the book of Acts. Paul introduced to us as a major player in the Bible, if you would have said it that way. And he wrote more than half the books of the Bible, of the New Testament, I read. And then the formation of the Christian church, and it uses the disciples, the first all Christians of Antioch, One of the kings said to Paul, "Almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian." So in another place too, in the Bible, the word Christian is used to describe what we are. You know, we know we have denominational names, and that's fine. But I'm just saying, we're all Christians, and we should be very thankful for that. So with that, I'll give way.